As we prepare to hear our lesson from Luke's gospel this morning, I invite you to pray with me our prayer for illumination. Let us pray. Prepare our hearts, O God, to hear your word and obey your will. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our gospel lesson for this morning comes to us from the gospel according to Luke, chapter 24, reading verses 36b through 48. And as we read this together, listen for what the word of God is saying to you in your lives and in your situation today, whatever it may be. Hear now the word of the Lord. Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." Who are they, and what were they talking about? Well, this part of Luke's gospel comes on the heels of the two disciples, Cleopas and his companion, walking on the road from Jerusalem to Emmaus. They're walking along, and a stranger begins to walk along with them. And he sees that they are downtrodden, and he asks, "What's wrong?" And they say to him, "What do you mean, what's wrong? Don't you know about the things that have happened in Jerusalem?" And the stranger says to them, "What things?" To which these two companions on the road say to the stranger, "This Jesus, we believed that he was the Messiah, but the Romans killed him and buried him." And then this stranger begins to explain to them the scriptures. He opens the scriptures in their minds and explains to them, while they are walking on the road, what it means that this Jesus that they had worshipped was the Messiah, pointing to their scriptures, the law, the prophets, and the Psalms. And when they get to their house, the stranger acts like he's going to continue walking. But with hospitality in their minds, they invite the stranger in. They prepare a meal, and he sits down and he breaks bread with them. And when he breaks the bread, they recognize him as Jesus, and then he disappears from their midst. And they say to themselves, "Didn't our hearts burn within us while he talked with us on the road?" And they leave their meal uneaten and they run back to Jerusalem, where they realize that while Jesus was with them, Jesus was also appearing to Peter and others. And it's while they are gathered around talking about these things that Jesus suddenly appears in their midst. And they are terrified. Not because they think he's dead. I mean, they've experienced him as alive. But you would be pretty freaked out too, I think, if suddenly someone who wasn't here before appeared next to you in the pew. Right? You didn't see him come in. Maybe all the doors are locked. And yet he appears. And they're frightened and they're startled. And Jesus says, "Peace be with you." And then he says to them, "Why are you afraid? Why are you troubled? Why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. See, it is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you have seen." Their first response to Jesus' presence with them is fear. And then, Luke tells us, their next is joy and amazement. But they still don't believe. And then he says, "Do you have anything to eat?" And they give him fish, and he eats it in their presence to show them that he's not just a ghost. You can touch him. He's physically there with them. And it's funny to me that it's not until he eats that they believe it's really him. Why? Well, throughout the Gospels, Jesus has been accused of being a drunkard and a glutton because all he seems to do is eat and drink with the wrong people. Right? He sits down with sinners and eats with them. And here are these disciples, who not a single one of them remained faithful to him in his time of need. If there are any sinners, it's them. And yet here he is again, sitting with sinners and eating with them. And it's when he sits with them and eats with them that then they recognize him fully for who he is. And then he says, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." And he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. On the road to Emmaus, he opens their minds first, and then they sit down for a meal. Here, they sit down for a meal, and then he opens their minds. But, and this is something that we ought to pay attention to as a church here today, that worship and fellowship are intertwined in all of these stories. They remain together, they sit down, they eat together, and that is a crucial part of what it is for them to be a worshiping community. And for us, it's probably the thing that I miss the most in this time of pandemic, is that you all make delicious food. And under normal circumstances, we would gather together and eat that food. But it's not safe for us to do that right now. But hopefully it will be sometime soon. And you better believe that eating food is going to come back into the life of Abundant Life Reformed Church. Because according to Luke here, we have it on his account what Jesus does with his disciples, that you can't have a church without food. You can't be a worshiping community without eating together, right? Because it's not only our souls that matter, but it's our bodies that matter too. And our body, physically, togetherness with each other matters. And it becomes the basis for community in Luke's story as it moves into Acts. He opens their minds so they can understand the scriptures. And he told them, this is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. Remember way back when we first started taking a look at Mark's gospel? After Jesus is led by the Spirit into the wilderness following his baptism, when he comes back, what does he do? He preaches. He understands it as his job to preach the coming kingdom of God, repentance, and forgiveness of sin. And he says to them, you have experienced what that means and what that looks like. My presence with you here today demonstrates my forgiveness of your sin. You are witnesses of these things, and they're going to be proclaimed everywhere. It starts in Jerusalem. By the time we get to the book of Acts, it travels to the ends of the earth with Peter, with Paul, and with others. And the ends of the earth in Acts is Rome, the seat of power, and the very power whose violence killed Jesus and sealed the tomb against him being able to get out. But it just goes to show you that the most violent cultures in the world stand no chance against the peace that is proclaimed through Christ. And Jesus says to his disciples, you are witnesses. In Acts, he says, you will be my witnesses. But here, he says, you are witnesses to these things. And what do witnesses do? They bear that witness to other people who need it. And there in the room, you have a mixed bag. You have folks who are scared. You have folks who are amazed. You have folks who believe. But it's all over the place. And it's that way in any community, at any given time. There are those of us who are on solid footing, we believe. There are those of us who are scared. There are those of us who are filled with joy and amazement. There are those who struggle with doubt. And Jesus says, you are witnesses. So my question for you today is this. How has the power of the risen Christ manifested itself in your life? What things have you witnessed? And if you haven't witnessed the power of the risen Christ in your life, it's okay. Because there are others who have and who can help to point out the presence of the risen Christ. You see, I firmly believe with 100% of my being that the risen Christ is present in the life of every single person in the world. The difference between those who are Christians and those who are not Christians is our ability to see and interpret the things that are happening in our lives as the presence of Jesus Christ. And so if you're sitting here today saying, well, Jesus has never appeared to me, my response is, yes, he has. You just haven't recognized him yet. But there are folks that can help. There are folks who have experienced that presence. There are folks who have experienced that power. And my friends, if you're sitting here today as someone who has experienced that, then your job is to help somebody else by telling your story, by giving your testimony, by saying that it was in this moment that I recognized that the risen Christ was in my midst and I didn't know it. There's all kinds of evil in the world. Bad things happen all the time. Unexpected things happen all the time, right? You have someone all lined up to preach a sermon and they do it beautifully. They send in a video and everything is working on Thursday, but by Sunday, everything goes to you know what. And sometimes there are gremlins that work in the midst of those kinds of things. If anything, in 2021, the midst of a pandemic, we know that sometimes things go awry and we don't have any explanation for it. And is it Satan working in our midst to try and derail us? Maybe. But in those instances, God uses those situations to stretch us and uses our words, whether they're eloquent or whether they're broken, for amazing and wonderful things. And we bear witness to those things and we remember those scriptures that remind us that God works for good in our lives, in all circumstances, in good circumstances, in bad circumstances. Jesus preaches a parable about a farmer who plants this beautiful field without any weeds in it. And then in the middle of the night, an enemy comes along and sprinkles in weeds with it, and they all grow up together. Sometimes there are weeds. But we can bear witness to the fact that even in the midst of the weeds, and even when things go differently than the way we thought they would, that Christ is present in those situations. And as we grow in our faith, I think we get better at recognizing the presence of Christ in those situations. And the more we recognize it, the more we bear witness to it. Maybe there's someone else who hasn't witnessed, who then hears and understands. Here in Luke, some fear. Some are joyful and amazed and don't believe, and some believe. Within the church community, within the world, there are all kinds of people. But Jesus says to all of us, you are witnesses of these things. So here's what we're going to do. Folks online, don't think the screen is frozen or anything. Folks listening in on the telephone, don't hang up because you think the service is over. We're going to spend a couple of minutes in silence. And I want you to reflect on this question. How have you witnessed the risen Christ in your life? A couple of minutes. Let's spend some time in silence, and then I'll finish our time with a prayer. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us in this place. Help us to discern your presence in our lives, in our circumstances. Help us to see you at work, and then give us the courage to tell someone else about what we have witnessed, your work in our lives. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're able to stand, would you stand with me now as we affirm our faith in the text of 1 Corinthians 15 and Colossians 1. This is the good news that we have received, in which we stand, and by which we are saved. Christ died for our sins, was buried, was raised on the third day, and appeared first to the women, then to Peter and the 12, and then to many faithful witnesses. We believe Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one of God, the firstborn of all creation, the firstborn from the dead, in whom all things hold together, in whom the fullness of God was pleased to dwell by the power of the Spirit. Christ is the head of the body, the church, and by the blood of the cross reconciles all things to God. Amen.